Transformative HR. How great companies use evidence-based change for sustainable advantage. Authors John W. Boudreau and Raven Jesuthasan. The promise of evidence-based change. Evidence-based change is a mindset and an approach to making HR decisions. In matters of people management, decisions are often made without full reliance on evidence. In recruiting, for example, there is evidence that unstructured interviews are far less effective than more structured approaches in identifying the best candidates. And yet, despite the evidence, unstructured interviews are still the preferred method of many managers. More often than not, decisions about HR and people management are made on the basis of the instincts or uninformed preferences of stakeholders. The future of HR profession lies in improving its ability to make decisions based on evidence. That evidence may be from research studies, as was the case with structured interviews, but more commonly it is based on a clearly articulated logic, informed by both qualitative and quantitative data. Principles of evidence-based change. Logic-driven analytics. Logic-driven analytics is about identifying the most pivotal issues that an organization needs to focus on and then using robust analysis to describe those issues as well as the likely outcomes from addressing them. The use of logic-driven analytics also ensures commonality in the frameworks and mental models used in analyzing issues and defining success. The real crux of logic-driven analytics is that it's not enough to have numbers. And it's not enough to do an analysis of those numbers. There has to be an underlying logic guiding the analysis. The goal is to use analytics to make good decisions and drive change. That distinction bears repeating when the HR function in so many organizations makes the mistake of simply throwing data out of its constituents in the hope that they will make the necessary connections to import outcomes, root causes and actions that will produce results. Segmentation. Segmentation is about discovering the strategic categories of employees and potential employees by understanding the most vital differences between them. Identifying these differences allows an organization to craft unique deals that meet the needs of particular segments and to target those deals to the segments where they will have the biggest impact. From an HR perspective, there are two different types of segmentation. Segmentation of the workforce according to the employment features that attract or motivate a certain group. We call this supply-side segmentation because it defines the deal that will cause employees and potential employees to supply such things as joining, performing for, and staying with the organization. Supply-side segmentation requires, first, identification of strategically relevant talent segments. Second, it requires an understanding of which features of the employment relationship motivate behaviours. Segmentation of the workforce and of work according to what the organisation needs from employees. We call this demand-side segmentation because it defines actions and behaviours that the organisation demands from employees. These are the actions that will contribute most of the organization's success. It is often not economically optimal for progressive HR functions to achieve top performance or acquire the very best talent in every role. The more optimal approach is to understand how various talent roles contribute to strategic success. This kind of demand-side segmentation can then be combined with supply-side segmentation to create employment deals with an optimal value exchange. The trick to making segmentation work is the use of logic-driven analysis to identify the limited areas in which a different deal rally would make a difference. Leadership support. To instill the recognition that workforce segmentation is essential to the execution of the business strategy in much the same way that customer segmentation is essential. And transparency. to communicate clearly and thoughtfully to the entire workforce the why, the what, and the how of segmentation. Risk leverage. Risk leverage transforms the traditional mindset that risk is bad. Risk is merely the possibility of a deviation from an expected outcome. As such, risk is something that can be analysed, planned for, managed, and leveraged for the economic benefit of the organisation. Taking the right risks is often as vital as avoiding the wrong ones. It is easy to react to risk by trying to avoid it or reduce it, but the most effective approach is to understand risk as both a potential danger and a potential opportunity. This often means going against the traditional HR position of mitigating risk and approaching human capital more like an investment portfolio. Integration and synergy. The principle of integration and synergy is about understanding how different HR solutions mesh with one another and with other organisational processes to deliver a unique and distinctly compelling proposition to the organisation and the workforce. It is about ensuring that decisions work together in concert and reinforce each other such that 1 plus 1 equals 3. HR leaders can do a number of things to promote synergy and integration. One is to avoid encouraging the out-of-context creation of world-class training programs, sourcing projects, or diversity initiatives. The more savvy HR leader will encourage programs that synergize with everything else HR is doing. A useful way for an HR leader to examine integration and synergy in the HR function is to array the functional elements of the talent life cycle: attract, select, orient, develop, deploy, assess, reward, and so on. And ask, do these separate elements of our deliverables work well together? One can imagine mapping combinations of these elements against ratings of how well they work individually and how well they integrate with each other function. Examining how different HR functions work together and communicate is another way to approach HR integration. Optimization. Optimization follows from segmentation and is about exploiting the differences between employee groups to enable the organisation to realise the optimal value exchange between itself and a particular group. It means identifying where and how certain investments will yield an excess return while minimising or eliminating investments that are underperforming. The next generation of HR practice will be much more hard-nosed in pressing the question, is this the optimal choice? HR professionals will ask this question first rather than simply making choices that generate few objections or that can be individually justified because their value exceeds their cost. This is precisely the evolution that caused the finance discipline to emerge from the professional practice of accounting and the marketing discipline to emerge from the professional practice of advertising. A parting challenge. There are many places to start that do not require a massive investment. The key thing is to get started. Ask yourself these questions. Do we have information overload or persuasive analytics? Do HR data just sit there, or are they sought out by the business? Is HR information used convincingly to drive better decisions? Where are the pivotal talent segments? Are you confident that you know where your pivotal segments are? Do you know what investments will attract and engage them? Do you know what aspects of their performance provide the highest return? If you do not know, now is the time to start finding the answers. Is risk just a four-letter word? Does your HR department have processes for assessing risk? Does HR have the confidence to distinguish between good risks and bad ones? HR can distinguish itself by being proactive in embracing risk leverage. Is our HR portfolio less than the sum of its parts? If your individual HR programs are good, but the function as a whole feels underpowered, then it's probably a sign that integration and synergy are lacking. Start with understanding what the business needs are, and then redirect efforts within HR to creating integration rather than adding new programs or enhancing existing ones. Are we spreading peanut butter or optimizing investments? Does HR have the courage and the analytical rigor to optimize investments in the workforce? Take the plunge, embrace evidence-based change, and transform HR.